Well, hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
This is for anyone that doesn't know the Two Passionate Blue Baggers podcast, because I didn't say it last podcast, just in case no one knew. I'm Vince and you're Frank. Did we have a good weekend or?
People are loving you saying, "Did we have a good weekend?" Well, I get a bit of feedback about that bloke, and we had a fucking magnificent weekend, but apparently they lost it. We didn't win it, so
Oh, we'll talk about that. All right, we'll talk about that because
We'll go over that a little bit later.
we've won. Apparently, we've won. Well, not apparently, we've won 10 from the last 11 games, and the opposition has lost them all. But apparently, they've lost them. We didn't win them, so we'll have a chat about that.
And when Collingwood was winning them last year, close, they were too good. So it's
Well.
amazing. But anyway, it's a fucking win. We're one win away
Oh,
from the big dance, bloke.
a fair bit to discuss with that game, I'll tell you now. So, I reckon we just get straight into it. I'm not gonna, we won't do too much, small talk. Let's just get straight into the fucking game.
Any no, the only small talk I've got, was there any feedback on the microphone last week or?
I reckon people have just given up. This will probably be the last year that we do it through this shit service, and next year I'll look at doing something different in the off season. While Carlton's picking up some superstar player, we'll look at upgrading the service for the podcast because this is shit. It's a shit way to do it. But anyway, I think we've got I think we've got actually the person that we've got on the line. He's heading. When what is written on the actual screen so that I know who it is, because Frank hasn't written his actual name. He's written apparently the Demons lost it. This bloke has written what the actual fuck, and they were probably my sentiments once Akers kicked that goal. So anyway, Mr. Mystery Guest.
Top four, bro. Top four, bro. How you going, Webby? Have you recovered?
Nah.
The last time I remember seeing scenes like that was the 95 grand final.
Can't remember.
The Pete, yeah, I remember. That was how
99,
people.
not 99, bloke. That's the last time I
No,
remember it
well,
going that
I don't.
stupid.
No. I'm talking about outside the ground. I
Oh,
didn't.
okay.
I didn't. I didn't see much of that because, unfortunately, I couldn't make that game due to work commitments. So, but we did pick you up that day, and I the only thing I remember from that game was seeing Essendon supporters crying on the ground and Carlton supporters cheering. But this was just like a party atmosphere.
Yeah,
it was insane.
It was nuts, wasn't it? Up there, up on level four, nuts.
How good was it then? How good was it singing the song down the steps all the way through?
Oh, mate, it was fucking echoing, echoing.
And Webby, I was saying to Vinny, we're pretty much normally in a rush to get back to the car because the kids are tired. And what time the game finished? 10:30.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, probably just a bit after.
I actually don't reckon we left the perimeter of the ground on the outside till about 11:15. We saw this person, we saw that
Yeah.
person.
Who did you guys run into?
Baz, we bumped into
Oh, yes.
the blokes at the on the Monday Carlton Monday
Oh, yeah.
podcast, the YouTube boys, fantastic fellas, Andy
Yeah.
and Caruso. They were awesome. But it was just a really jovial atmosphere, and leave it was, and I said, Vinny and I said to each other just as we were walking back, can you imagine we win the grand final? I mean, this should be fucking stupid.
Would it though?
No,
No,
just
stupid in the sense of
the actual
the
atmosphere.
crowd.
No, you know, I don't attend obviously any other supporters games, especially games like this. I don't go out of my way to attend, you know, a Richmond Gold Coast preliminary final or grand final or anything like that. Generally, only go to Carlton games, so I only know what Carlton supporters are like. But I just don't see this much celebration. And you know, opposition supporters will say, oh, they over-celebrate for everything. But it's not that. It's 10 years of being out in the fucking wilderness and 20 years of well, it's actually been longer than 20 years. Well, this is 23 years since our last prelim. Yeah. I can't even believe that I'm saying that we're in a prelim. I just didn't think that was possible this year.
Crazy.
I just didn't think it.
It's just crazy.
I just didn't think it. I mean, I got a private message from somebody today who was saying that he just wanted to go back and listen to some of the old podcasts that we'd done when we were down on our knees. And he goes, I just cannot believe the change from then to now. It's just a complete change.
But this is why we were so critical, because I think
Anthony wrote to me saying that it's just a complete change.
Deep down, the three of us knew there was talent there.
Yeah, talent's never questioned.
Did we think we had this much talent? Probably not.
Yeah,
top four, but
yeah, I thought we did. I'd been saying for a while they just need to believe that they can do it because they're good enough. And the only thing that I never thought that I'd see is so many times during games, I always say, going back to the 90s, whenever you needed that big moment, Kernaghan would step up. You know, he'd take that mark. He'd kick that goal just when you needed it. You just relied on it. You know, 90% of the time, you'd look for someone, Sticks would take that mark. You'd go back. You'd slot it through. You go, fuck, thank God we got that. And then momentum would just keep going. The last two finals, and probably for the last 9 or 10 weeks before that, on the whole, maybe minus one or two games where Charlie took complete control, we haven't looked to the individual. It's just been team.
Yeah.
You know, like Akers, the last two finals has kicked the last two goals when we've needed them. You know, and we're going to talk about that last minute and a half of that game because it was just insane what happened. But, you know, players like TDK were massive. Players like Hollins in that last quarter were fucking huge.
Oh, massive.
Some of the things that he did. Just go back and watch it again, some of the stuff that he did. It's not relying on the big guys. Yeah, but it's not relying on the big guys anymore.
No.
This is a team effort. Everyone's putting in when they need to. Everyone's getting that little smothering or that tackle or that finger on the ball when they need it or you know, just putting the pressure on that person from behind just so they make that mistake. It's just
I'm glad you actually said that, Vinny, because you know, Charlie didn't have a great game, and you mentioned that he's won a few off his own boot. But if you go back and watch that last quarter, which I'm sure everyone's done a million times, that Motlop goal, the second last goal we kicked, he actually forced that fumble from Bowie by tackling him and getting it to I can't remember who handballed it to.
How good is Motlop?
What I'm saying is, so he didn't have a great game goal-wise, but when we needed a pressure act in the forward line,
he kicked two goals.
He only kicked one. No, I'm talking Charlie.
It was the tackle that Charlie did
to force the fumble on Bowie, which caused the spill and got
Charlie,
the goal.
Charlie didn't have a great game, but it's really fucking hard for him to have a great game when we will talk about it right now. The kicks inside forward 50 for the whole all night were pretty bad. Like, they weren't great to him. And the poor guy's either got two or three guys consistently on him.
Hmm.
It's just insane.
It's insane
that on the one-on-ones, May did beat him. May was just too strong for him.
Charlie looked sloppy the other night. He actually looked like, I don't know if you thought the same thing, maybe, but he actually looked he looked like the first time I had seen him ever drop his head during contest.
To me
it almost looks like he put so much effort and emotion in getting us to where we needed to in the finals. It almost seems like he's emotionally drained. Like, he just can't get up for it. don't know. I'm not making excuses for the guy. I mean, he could have a fucking massive game against the Lions, but
Brisbane unless he comes out steaming.
Oh, you know what? They said the same thing about us against Melbourne during the week, that if he doesn't fire, I saw David King. We couldn't kick enough goals unless Charlie Curnow does this. And
it's different.
There was Melbourne, no Motlop and Harry, and what happened?
Different though, Vince. Webber, you would admit this. Brisbane's the best attacking team in the league. They're going to kick at least 15 goals.
Attacking, yeah.
So we need to score.
Yeah, but Melbourne were the best, if not the second best, defensive team in the competition. So you'd have thought if we can't score, all they need to do is score 9 or 10 goals, and they've probably got us because they're so good defensively. Yet just because we said he didn't have a good game, we have to justify it by saying we love him. He just had a shit game. That's okay.
We just want him stronger in the contest. I do anyway. I just want him to be a bit
that's
stronger.
Okay. He doesn't stand up. Somebody else stands up. And that's been our strength in the second half of the year. We're not reliant on one person. That's what we've been saying. It's not relied upon one guy to do everything. It's as simple as that.
Hey, Webby, what were your thoughts on the game?
It was tense, wasn't it? It was edge of your seat, hand over the mouth for four quarters for me. I could not sit still, boys. I'll tell you.
It's the epitome of the what the fuck game. You're just thinking.
That's fine.
I don't know why I sat there for maybe three quarters and not invested as what I thought I was, because I thought I just can't see us getting up for this. You know, it looked like Melbourne had the runs on the board. They looked like they'd gotten on top of us in the third quarter. Gawn looked like, all right, he'd started to play back to his best footy in that third quarter. I thought, fuck, here we go. It's we're going to lose. You know, I'm proud that we got there. But and I remember looking at you, Frank, with probably about 10 minutes left in the last quarter and said, I can't see us winning it. I just don't think we're going to win.
I was saying,
and it just didn't look it.
Yeah.
We just didn't look it. It looked like every time we got it down, Melbourne would just rebound it quick, and they just couldn't score goals. I mean, I don't know if that was the pressure of the night. They kept missing. You know, it was hitting the post, or you know, Gawn surprisingly touching it on the line from Oliver's kick. You know, and it just left the door open for us. And when Motlop kicked that goal, something just sparked in me. And I said, now I think we can. And I've probably since that 99 prelim, I've never had that much emotion come out at me at the footy. I just couldn't believe it. When Akers kicked that goal, I thought, what the fuck is going on? Where did this come from? Because I didn't see it. I didn't see it happening. And have any of you guys seen the footage from behind the goals, that last minute and a half of play, what happened?
No. Where was that?
No.
Oh, somebody put it online. I had a look at it. And you can see Akers is with Lever when he takes the mark. So obviously he loses out in the contest. I can't even remember if he went up for it or not, but he was around Lever when he took the mark. I think it was Lever. Lever kicks it out. It's a contest. Obviously goes down into Viney's hands, and then he kicks it to Wiedering. It's roughly around the time Wiedering kicks it into the middle.
Can we talk about Akers from Wiedering, please?
We will. Just wait. Just wait.
Enough credit.
We will. As soon as Wiedering kicks it into the middle to Hollins, Akers just runs.
Yeah.
I don't know if he sensed that they were going to kick it in there, but he runs unopposed on his own towards the goal square. So there's nobody around him. And then as Hollins kicks it to Doherty, McGovern runs in.
Yeah.
And he sort of created that perfect fake mark attempt block for Akers to take the mark.
I had PTSD watching that. I was thinking, McGovern, don't you dare do fucking nothing stupid here.
Well, we couldn't see because it was where we were sitting directly. directly behind that. So it was right below it. You had to stand up to see it, and everyone was standing up. We couldn't see it. And we were right behind the Melbourne cheer squad, dead behind the goals. So we didn't know how close he got to actually missing it. But once the crowd roared, it was just like, what the fuck happened?
I thought he missed it. Honestly.
So let's we can analyze that last bit of play, because there's a lot of things to talk about. I rewatched that last minute and a half again, because there's a lot that happened. Yeah. When the ball got kicked to Wiedering, his first instinct was to look straight down the middle. He didn't even look ahead. He just looked down the middle and saw Hollins. And it had to be a perfect kick, and it was.
Yeah, it was.
It absolutely. And then Hollins turned. This kid is brilliant, Hollins. Don't care what anyone said. He may not have gotten close to winning the Rising Star, but he's been fucking amazing for us this year. And his cameo in that last quarter won us the game. It won us the fucking game. So his kick to Doherty, and I also saw another angle of that, where I can't remember the play that went up against Doherty, but he should have plowed through Doherty, and he went for the ball and just completely missed it.
Overcommitted. Doherty was off, and that was it.
As soon as Doherty was off, we needed another pitch-perfect kick, and Doherty could have ran in another 10, 15 metres and gone for goal.
Would have missed it.
But he did it. He did it. He did the team thing, and he saw one guy on his own in the goal square, and he kicked it straight to him. So the guy that shoulder popped out kicked it to the other guy whose shoulder's fucked.
Oh.
They both took the marks and he kicked the goal. After that, the ball went into the middle and Hollins, there was a one-on-one contest, and Hollins lost the contest but won it in the end.
On the wing.
Because he tackled him.
Yep.
Should have been a free kick being a throw,
yep.
And the game would have been over with then. But the ball ended up coming out. Eventually got to McGovern. They marked it. The next kick after they marked it, if you watch it again, the Melbourne guy plays on. Watch De Koninck come from his side and almost get him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Puts the pressure on him. He kicks it straight into Chera. Yeah. Lever shit himself. Shit himself. And who was the only person with clean hands there, Webby?
De Koninck.
Yep.
Went through, mate. Clean pickup. Kicked it out. That kick wasted about 5 to 10 seconds.
And that's it.
And then Kennedy kicks it off the ground. Another 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds before it goes through the points.
And then it was my hand.
And that's the game. And it was just, the only two kicks that we had, or three kicks that we had in that last bit of play, was McGovern's miss kick that went straight to them.
Yeah,
De Koninck kicked it off. De Koninck just kicked it into space.
Yep.
And Kennedy kicked it a kick and hope off the ground.
Kicked it off the ground, was it?
I believe it was Kennedy, yeah.
Kennedy at the end, yeah, okay, kicked the last point.
Yep.
And it was just, it sort of just summed up for me, that last bit just summed up the whole game. It was just fucking chaos.
Yeah.
It almost like no one knew what was going on, but
we always knew
flash it back to last year where we had the lead with 30 seconds left, and we just made mistake after mistake for Melbourne to get it in there and kick that last goal to win them the game.
We've learned.
This year it was the opposite. The pressure was on them. We did not buckle under pressure this time. That last bit of play from Wiedering to Hollins to Doherty to Akers was about as perfect a football as you could get. And we didn't do that almost all night. It was very, very tough to do it because the pressure was on. But for some reason, I don't know what it was, the cool heads prevailed right then. It was the most perfect piece of play that you'd see.
Thank fuck they did.
Oh.
They've trained it. Like, this time last year, I reckon, Frank, you were saying, because you listened to,
yeah, you did,
to an interview.
Yeah, the Collingwood and Melbourne game, especially the Collingwood one in that last 2 minutes.
So,
yeah, what did I say?
apparently.
No, well, we'd never heard that they trained for it.
Yeah.
And I said that.
Yeah.
I know. And you know, but what? But no. But we're not saying that they've trained in that scenario to get the ball down, because I'd heard Voss say, "Did you train or did you tell Akers to go down into the goal square?" I don't think he told him to go into the goal square. I think it was just he saw the play unfolding up the ground. He saw that there's some bizarre things that Melbourne did during the game. I mean, you told me, for I didn't even check. You told me at the game, Shacky was the sub, and I went, the first thing that popped into my head was, well, I thought he fucking retired. Like, I haven't seen Shacky play for years. And you're playing to win, to go into the preliminary final, and you're bringing in Shacky?
Yeah, strange.
It was just a fucking shocking move. Just shocking, I thought. And it didn't, you know, put anything in my mind that, well, they've played Shacky, they've got no idea what they're doing. We're going to win this game. But, I mean, Shacky.
Yeah.
It'd be like us using...
It was cover for Vaughan.
Yeah, but it'd be like us... Well, why wouldn't you bring in Grundy to cover for Vaughan?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do that, do it the right way. You know, it's like us saying, you know, there's injury clouds with Doherty and Akers, but we'll bring in Young as the sub. Well, that's not a like for like. And what's Young going to do for you? You want run at the end of the game. Like, Hollins was a masterstroke, a fucking masterstroke. And, you know, come the time that we needed him, this kid, an 18-year-old kid, fucking stood up. He was I was so proud of him. He was just fucking massive.
You know who else stood up and absolutely loves putting a cock up Gorn?
To Conig? Yeah.
He fucking loves.
Webby, are you convinced now that what I've said about TDK, this kid is going to be a fucking champion? Are you convinced?
I wouldn't say champion. I think a good player. A good player.
Webby, come on, mate. That guy there in the first half kept us in the game.
Yeah, agreed.
In that first quarter, if it weren't for him.
TDK. Don't come for me, Vic.
Mate, he is, seriously.
Come on.
He's fucking brilliant, mate. This kid is going to be a fucking star. He's going to be a star.
I hope he is.
He got us the game at the start. And then at the end, when it needed to be won.
Don't get me wrong.
And then at the end, when the game needed to be won to get it into our forward line, he was there, mate. You watch it again. Watch that last 30 seconds, and he puts the pressure on the kicker when he kicks it into Akers. He's right by his side. Just watch it again. He comes right in. And then who gets that ball out that kicks it into the forward line with a clean – just watch him, mate. He's running full ball, and he picks it clean up. Clean. There's no fumbling. He picked that up, mate, and he's fucking 200 centimetres tall this week.
He's got to go again this week. Got to go again this week.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about this week, yeah? We're talking about the Friday night game. And you can only do what you can do, mate. And he's playing on the best ruckman in the competition. He loves it. He loves it, TDK. He obviously loves the big stage.
We're pretty good.
I thought Pitto was pretty good too, actually, to be honest.
He only had five touches, but he nullified the influence.
The only time that Gorn looked like he was doing something was probably that third quarter. He started taking some marks around the ground.
Yep.
Started looking a little dangerous, and I thought, oh, here we go.
Pitto had a few brain fades when he was one out in the ruck on his own and kept grabbing the ball.
Yes.
You remember that? In the pocket.
I think it was.
What are you doing in that situation? You've got it on your own. Where do you go? Like, do you tap it to your feet one of our guys can get it?
And ball it off.
I don't know. It was just, look, in the end we won anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. But it was just insane. It was the party atmosphere at the ground was just... I actually feel sorry for the people that couldn't get a ticket. Yeah. They tried to get in there because, man, 96,400 odd people. I would estimate.
Small club. I would estimate. They all went to Michael Street anyway, it looked like. So,
small, We're a small club, Webby.
I would estimate that at least, you'd have to say at least 70,000 of them were current supporters. Because yeah. I'd say of the 92,000 that went last week against Sydney, 80. You'd have to say at least 80 were Carlton, yeah. And that was loud. This eclipsed that noise.
This was eclipsed level. It. Yeah, I've never witnessed
it. Just eclipsed
like
it
like that in my life, boys. My no. life of following the football club. I've never witnessed anything like it. And
I mean, we're Webby.
If this is it, I want fucking more. Yeah. I want more.
Webby, we are in the last four teams in the competition. Like, we're in a fucking prelim. That was the one thing. I looked at Frank and just said, we're in a fucking prelim. I just outside of the ground, it was just pure shock that we made a fucking prelim. We are one win away, potentially, from making a grand final. I just didn't think this was going to happen this year. Even at the start of the year when I thought I had my expectations about this team, I didn't think – I mean, my prediction was that we could win the flag, but that's been really optimistic. Realistically, I thought, look, if we make the finals and we win at least one final, I'm wrapped. We've at least gone a step ahead of where we were last year. In 2024, you build on that. You try and finish top four, and then you go from there.
Yeah.
We're top four now. We're top four. You know what I mean? Like,
we are.
We've done it.
We should be, though. I said this at the start of the year. Top four.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, 100%, but we didn't play like that at the start.
No.
They've got
the mix right now, and that's the key. They've got the mix down back, midfield, forward line.
But wasn't it funny, Frank? Was it? Where were we when we were? Was it at the grounds when they were saying it that they were missing Brayshaw and they were missing Van Ruyen and I looked at you and said, yeah, and I looked at you and said, so Carlton's not missing anyone.
He's probably like 10 games.
No, but are we not missing anyone? Like it just sounded to me like let's pull out the excuses for Melbourne. Let's say they didn't have this plan, they didn't have that player. Well, I'm sorry, but you know. Of the 9 wins or 10 wins or whatever it was that we had in a row, man, we fronted up with fucking half a team half the time. We learned to win without having – that's right. We learned to win without having the stars in.
System.
And yet as soon as we come up against a team that's got some injuries, all of a sudden that's the reason why. So, Frank, you brought up something a little bit.
Let him make excuses. No, wait. Fuck him.
You brought up something a little bit earlier, Frank, where – and you've written it here. Apparently, the Demons lost it. You know, if we go back to the time that we won all those games from the run on that we had, you know, you go back to the Gold Coast game. Well, obviously, we beat them down here because they played down here. We beat Hawthorn. They didn't have Sicily. Apparently, that's why they lost by 10 goals. Fremantle up there. Well, Fremantle just was shit. So that's the only reason why we beat them. Who else did we beat on that run? Port Adelaide. They had seven. Apparently, they had 7 quality players out, even though only 2 or 3 of them were actually any good.
We destroyed this season.
Well, yeah, since that game there, they weren't the same.
Fuck them.
Collingwood. Well, Collingwood's excuse was, well, wait, they didn't need to win because they were already on top of the ladder. So it wasn't that great a win. I mean, you know, the excuses just kept coming. Every week it was, well, Carlton won because they got this free kick. Carlton won because it was touched on the line. Carlton won because the opposite. What? Hang on. Did Carlton win because they were the better team?
Good. And you know what? I hope it happens for another fucking 2 weeks and they can keep saying the same thing if we hold that fucking cup for 17. I couldn't give 2 fucks what they say.
No.
It's just funny when they do bring out that stuff. Like,
they're scared. Let them
have it. I didn't hear anyone mention Martin wasn't playing or Mackay. Nobody. Cripps had his nose broken. Doc busted shoulder. Akers busted shoulder. Didn't hear any of that. You didn't hear that the Blues have got no finals experience against them. Like, you haven't heard any of that. So, you know what? Fuck them.
All right.
Have you guys?
Is there anything else you wanted to bring up about the game? Like any plays that you wanted to call out? Yeah. Any key bits of play? Anything?
I want to bring up a slight little issue that we're going to face against the Lions, that we faced against the Demons, and they got to sort their shit out. They were using Pickett out of the goal square in the second half, and he didn't. I mean, he had 4 or 5 scoring shots or whatever. But we're coming up against Cameron this week, who's the best small forward by a mile. We just got to make sure that if he's one out, we don't have Chincotta on him. I know we play as a defensive back, but he was isolated too much, Chincotta. I think you've got to maybe look at Boyd, or you've got to put Sard on him, because you can't let Cameron come out of the goal square like that. He'll fucking annihilate us.
That's the only problem that I've seen in the past 2 games is that, and it hasn't hurt us yet, but it may hurt us against Brisbane. When the opposition get it in, they tend to score. They'll do it 40 to 50% of the time. And we've just been lucky for 2 weeks they've scored behinds and not goals. But you know what Brisbane are like? They'll get a 50, 60 metres out on the boundary and it'll slide through. They don't miss.
Yeah.
So you need to take a different tact into this game.
For
all the players that played on the weekends, all of them, sometimes you do need that guy to stand up, that one guy to do something where you go, all right, we're on. And that was my boy TDK in that first quarter, because it was 3 goals to nothing. They jumped straight out of the blocks and he fucking stood up. Big TDK. And it started a run of 5 consecutive goals after that. And he was fucking huge. Had a quiet third quarter, but the whole team did, actually. It was that quarter there is not one that you want to go back and watch, probably for either team. Because the turnovers, I don't know if the moment got to each and every player, but fuck, Melbourne were kicking it to us, then we'd get it back, we'd kick it into the forward line, straight to them, they'd kick it out, go straight to us. It was just high pressure footy.
Webby, what do you got before I say something about another player?
Oh, I hope it's not the player I'm going to talk about, but we'll find out. My boy, the captain, he's waited 180 games to play in his first final, and his second half was, oh my lord, some of those magical handballs, and the kick in the first minute of the third quarter to hit up Kennedy for a goal. This guy's waited so long, he is not going to give it up easily. I absolutely adore this bloke. It is 8 years today, boys. He fucking won his first BNF. He could have left. He could have left. He could have gone home to Perth, right?
Thank fuck he did, huh?
He stayed. I've actually got goosebumps talking about this. He's just a warrior. He stayed for these moments. I adore the bloke.
2 to go, bro.
2 to go.
I want to say
he doesn't carry us anymore either, Cripper. He just
this guy that I'm about to mention. I've been his biggest critic, as you know, with his disposal. But fuck me, I don't think I've seen a better game from a player in a long Sam Walsh's game on the weekend was unfucking believable. Like, not only to have 34 disposals and kick 2 goals, but he had the most pressure acts in the game for the whole game from everyone. But Peter's game was phenomenal. But it was, for me, it was the ability to hit the scoreboard. That was the biggest thing he had. Yes, he does shonky kicks. This was just, he didn't stop running, and hats off to him. We forget the kid's only 23.
Yeah.
and he hasn't played 100 games yet. In fact, he'll play that if we make the grand final.
I heard that.
So he's after the first goal of the last quarter to get us running.
Yeah.
Was absolutely unreal. Now people I know said that he shanked it and it went through for a goal. No, he didn't. No. That was a beautiful goal on the run, 50 out. Freak of a performance, and it's you need the superstars to step up in the big moments, and fucking Big Walsh, he did that. So hats off, he was fucking unbelievable that game.
This is what finals is about, isn't it, mate? This is what finals is exactly right about.
Unbelievable.
He holds very high standards, Walsh.
He does.
Yeah.
And I saw an interview. They asked him about that when he walks out onto the ground. Does he hum that theme? I think it was Jonathan Brown asked him. He goes, "No, I'm pretty serious when I go out. A bit like Weeders, very serious." And it's
business.
It's game time. It's game time, mate. And that's how we is. It's business. Business first, mate. And he's Steve Silvani may have got some of those draft picks wrong.
But that
SPS,
that draft, he nailed it.
Jesus Christ, he did not. I mean, look at the contrast on Friday night, where Wiedering was pick one and Josh Shackey was pick two, Josh Shackey was sub for Melbourne and didn't even come on. And Wiedering took that intercept mark and set up the chain of play that won us the game.
Yeah.
So, it's sometimes it's a fine line, but we were sort of crying out for a forward in those days there. We picked up two rippers and got the best fullback in the competition. I don't care what anyone says. It was just awesome performance all round.
He doesn't get beaten. He just doesn't get beaten.
No. He's in the contest.
Oh, he's a gun. And he's only 25. We've got plenty of years left of him. So, yeah, I just wanted to shout out Walshy. And I could have picked a number of players out, but his game was just fucking unreal. And
I want to shout out one more. I mentioned him before. It's his first year. He's only 18. And he came on as the sub. And you'd be forgiven for thinking, well, he's come on as the sub. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? But, man, again, watch that last 2 minutes. See what Hollins did. Because he near on won us the game. He was a part of two bits of important play that won us the game. And he's 18 years of age playing in front of – this is the biggest crowd that any of these guys have played against. Like, I think they said that was the biggest crowd that Carlton's played in front of since the 1999 grand final. 1999 grand final. That's the biggest crowd. So these guys have just not experienced anything like that before. Just nothing like it. So, you've got people screaming in the crowd. He takes that mark. I mean, just put yourself in his position. He's on his own in the middle of the ground. What do you do with the ball? If you fuck that kick up, we've lost the game. And that needs to be perfect, that kick. It needs to hit Doherty perfectly because his shoulder is fucked. If it's even 30 centimetres off, he's not taking that mark. That's getting spoiled. It needed to be perfect. I can't stress how much pressure he was under to kick it, and he turned around and delivered it perfectly to Doherty. And then that tackle that he did on the wing to stop the guy from running into forward 50 because he was running in. That next kick would have gone straight into forward 50. He stopped him. Like, it's just fucking hats off to him. He came on for his job. He did it perfectly. Couldn't have asked any more from him.
Hey, Webby, how many people did you high five on the way down?
Mate, seriously. I've never hugged or high fived as many people walking around to actually Q4 to come and see you. But I reckon I hugged 50 people and high fived 50 people.
It was ironic was it, Frank, that when we left, so the crowd had started to thin out outside finally, And we were going back out to, I think it's the Light Pole 6, which is around where Gate 2 is.
Oh, yes.
And we'd met everyone that we wanted to see. And then right just before we were about to leave the ground, who do we see but Paul Barbazza and his daughter Fiona? Oh. It's like, is this, like, it was just the perfect timing of people. And I don't think Baz will mind us saying this on here, but mate, he almost, like, he walked off on us. He gave Frank a hug. We took a photo, gave me a hug. And he sort of turned his head and went down, like, put his head down, and I could see he was starting to cry. And he walked off, and he was emotional, mate.
This,
like,
is
we
what
all
it
were.
Means,
it was...
though, lads. This is what it's about, yeah? This is what it means.
Well, Frank's daughter, Maddie, was there. She was crying.
Names of some of us. All of us here, and Baz and Pete. Because we fucking ride every bump. We ride every bump with his club. We don't want to bag them.
But they say that the one you love the most, you treat not the worst, but you're extra emotional about them because you love them so much. And, you know, whether that be about your kids or, you know, your partner, it's true. Even with your footy club, you invest so much into them, and it doesn't, I mean, we can scream as loud as we want. It's not going to influence a ball that comes off their boot going through for a point or a goal. We just can't influence it, but we feel like we can. And, you know, 96,500 people there. And again, 70 to 80% of them I'd estimate were Carlton supporters. If our roars didn't get these guys over the line, then I don't know what will, because mate, they'd have to feel the love from all of us. They'd have to.
Well, we're not going to be there this week to cheer them on, but we'll be watching it from our lounge room.
Did you see that? Just quickly getting onto that, I saw this this bloke put up a video online, and it was from mainly two airlines, but there was a third one there. There's Jetstar, there's Virgin, and then there was Qantas.
I saw this.
Return flights to Queensland were like from 1,300 up to 1,600.
Yeah, they're fucking
like, they're seriously taking the piss, aren't they? That is pathetic. That is price gouging, and that's where the government should step in, but they won't because they've got other bullshit issues that they're interested in. But this kind of crap where people bust their ass, work hard for their money, and then they go and do that. Now, that's okay if you're single and you've got money to spare and, you know, you don't have kids and things like that. But for people that are working hard and busting their ass, you know, that's like a week's wage that you're going to spend just to go on a fucking flight to go to the footy.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's on $800 a week? Clear.
Well, but yeah, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? For some people it's 2 weeks worth of wage. You know, and I get it. Some people really want to go there and watch the footy, but Christ, man, for $1,500, God, you've really, you're going to want to hope you get a fucking ticket to the game.
Jeez, boys, Scotto won't be happy.
Why?
Aaron Norton has informed the Western Bulldogs he wants to trade to Collingwood.
Wow. Good. Fuck him.
Wow. Anyway, it's a Carl podcast, but. Wow.
It's all right. We can talk about other teams if we want.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's great.
But, yeah, it is price gouging, and that's the biggest problem, is that there's so much into their club, and this happens. It's just a joke. So
there was another issue that I encountered on – well, all of us encountered on Friday night. So – it turns out that it wasn't our home game, obviously, which it should have been because we had the majority of the supporters. But by rights, it's Melbourne's home game. So what? We don't get the song getting played again at the end of the game? They just went to some other bullshit? Like,
they played it once, apparently, but didn't play it a second time. But
yeah, I know. Well, against the Sydney, really against the Sydney Swan. No, no, but I'm just saying anyway, you know, it's nice. It was nice against Sydney when the master of ceremonies on the ground, she says to everyone, "Do you want to hear the song again?" And everyone went, "Yes." And then they played it again. Whereas this one here, it goes off once. Mind you, the Bastards also played it before they'd even ran out onto the ground at the start of the game. Like, they were down in the club room still running out. So they played it extra early.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of the game, you know, you're celebrating, you're cheering, you're crying, and you know, you're giving high fives and hugging people. You sing the song, and they're running around. Play it again.
Webby, I actually think Norton thing was fake.
You reckon?
Yeah. Where did it come from?
Tom Brown.
It's not
accurate. No, is that the same Tom Brown that said Max Gorn is not
Yeah, I think it's inaccurate.
It's not going to be playing. That's a fake one, that guy.
Tom Brown's a piece of shit, bro.
Okay. All right.
Good, bad, or indifferent. He's not leaving. So yeah, I agree, Vinny. I think that when you get to finals, I do believe that if it's two Victorian clubs, I don't think you should have a home team and an away team. When it gets
to I'm happy for them. It's their stadium. You know, they have the rights to it at the start. So you know, the ground lights up with the Melbourne colours and they play their music. But once the team that has won the game has won the game, whether it's the home team or the quote unquote away team, then you should seize all rights to the away team that's won and go, well, now you guys take over. You want to play the song? You want to show the festivities on the screen? Show the boys singing the club song on the screen for people that hung around. But they didn't even do that. You know, it was just
You just had to listen to fucking D's TV as soon as Carlton won, and you could hear Tom Morris like, "Oh, I hate this song. I hate this song." Like, you're so salty.
Yeah, but that's
Tommy Morris. You shouldn't even be on radio after
they're passionate supporters. That's okay. Let them. They can do what they want, and fuck them. We won, so you know it's just all the sweeter. They can say what they want, but like I said, at the end of the game, you stay back. I mean. Like Frank said, we were there for 45 minutes after the game, still roaming around. I'd love to know who it was that put the sign out just outside the MCG that Demons are onto the prelim or something
I did say that.
I'm quite sure that they had that up within the last few minutes of the game where they were certain that Melbourne were going to win. And they had something along the lines of demons onto the prelim or something like that.
With 3 minutes to go. Like it's 2 points of margin or whatever it was. Like, get inside, guys.
Come on. Yeah, I don't know. I know for a fact I saw a few videos and there were some people that were just so nervous they just couldn't stay in the ground. They just had to walk off. Like it was tense.
Oh, it was. Yeah, what?
You know, I'm gonna if you guys have got nothing else to say, I'm gonna quickly go on to the Twitter. There's no questions actually. It's just comments, which I know at the end of the game, I got a lot of messages, Facebook Messenger messages, SMSs, Twitter messages from people just congratulating the club because they won. It was just Even I had it from a mate of mine that I work with, a Collingwood supporter that was really happy that Carlton won because it's the only time I'll ever go for Carlton. Just could not stand Melbourne because of the brouhaha with Brayshaw and Maynard during the week and how the Melbourne supporters went on about it and the players and the club just in general. So they were just quite content that Melbourne got kicked out for that reason. So anyway. There's only a few comments. I'll quickly read them out. Maddie B said, "Love the pod, lads. For me, that was the best game I've seen since the 99 prelim. Does that win compare for you boys? Unbelievable." Now, Webby, I don't know how old you were. So how old are you now, Webby?
I'm 32. So
you would have been eight years of age?
Eight.
Yep. So you were probably far too young to really have a good grasp of what was going on in the 99 prelim. But Frank was 17 going on 18.
Jesus.
And I just turned 19 years of age. And like I said, I couldn't go, even though I lined up for the tickets. Frank went with a mate of his. But I couldn't go because I had to go to work. And I remember I said to Frank, "You go, you take your mate. If we win this, which we won't, I'll go to the grand final." So What a fuck we closest, I was. I should have.
It was the closest to the prelim in terms of emotion and just the crowd going stupid.
But that would have been different. I mean, I remember listening to it in the car with Dad going to pick you up. That was to make the grand final. And not similarly, we didn't have a great year that year. Like, on the whole, we weren't great. Like, we made finals, but we were probably lucky to make the prelim because I think we got pumped the first week of the finals by, I think, fifth or sixth.
Okay. That's,
but
that's
no, no, but we weren't, year. No, we weren't great. Like, we were, okay. I think Parkin famously said that we were
B grade.
What do you say? We were like a Z grade team or something like that. He really gave it to us. And, you know, the first final, if I remember correctly, did we get pumped that first final?
Yeah, I think it might have been against Brisbane.
Yes.
I think the second final, because West Coast won the first final, then because they had to have a game at the MCG, a game in Melbourne. We played them here, even though we lost. We should have played West Coast up there, and we beat them, which meant that we played Essendon in the prelim, and they were heavy, heavy favourites.
After they belted Sydney, yeah?
Yeah, so we weren't expected to get close to them. And to win that game against, in my opinion, our biggest enemy, or my biggest enemy for the Carlton Footy Club is Essendon, to knock them out to make the grand final, in my eyes, being a young idiot, it didn't matter about winning the grand final because we stopped them from winning it. We weren't expected to make the grand final. So it was just good enough to win that game. So my emotions then were, cannot believe it. This one was different because I'm a little bit older and I understand a little bit more and it means a little bit more to me now. That game was still a better win for me because we were just complete underdogs. But being at this game here with my two kids and with my brother Frank and his daughter, it was...
Yeah, this was better.
It's the best win. Yeah, it was the...
With my daughter, my brother, my nephews and niece.
So yeah, it was the best game that I've ever been to in my life. Just unbelievable.
But yes,
it's something I'll never forget.
But yes, it was the closest thing to the 99 prelim because in reality, the 95 grand final was over at... Probably halfway through the second. So it
we were singing the club song, you know, I think it was during the third quarter, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like it was all over, barring some massive turnaround, but it was nothing.
I remember once Riccardi done his hamstring in the late in the second or early in the third, and he threw his mouth guard at the interchange bench. He was the only one playing well for him.
Yeah.
So, but that was the 99 was the
closest. A long time ago, bro. I was four. Yep. I don't remember nothing in 95.
So. That's all right. Well, we've got another shot, bro. Not now
I'm loving this, boys.
Webby, it was comparable. Yes, to 99. I get that. The only difference with this is with 99, and I said this, Frank, I think in our private chat, we were so used to making finals in those days that a finals win was just seen as beautiful. Now on to the next game. Because we haven't done this for so long. Like, again, 2000 was the last time we made a prelim. 2000.
Yep.
23 years of age. I mean, they put it up in – somebody wrote up – it might have been Sir Swamp Thing on Twitter – put up that Motlop and Kemp weren't even born the last time Carlton made a prelim, and Sam Walsh was, I think, 50 days old when the Carlton last made a prelim in 2000. So, you know, it just says a fair bit about what the club has been through and in turn what we as supporters have been through. You know, we've been through so much and, you know, you put your money, you put your heart into it. We're all passionate, and just to see what's happening now, to see the joy on the players, and even fucking Vossi, see him on the sidelines. He's never been in this position before as a coach, you know. So it's all new to all of us, and I'm just, you know, this is not a cop out for what may or may not happen next week on Saturday, but I'm just enjoying the fucking ride, and that is the truth. Whether we win or lose this Saturday. Wait, I want to win, but I'm just fucking going to enjoy it because we took it for granted in the late 90s that, well, we're Carlton. This all happened every year, every 2 years, every 3 years. What didn't?
No.
It didn't, and it may not. So you can't take it for granted and say, well, we're here now. If we lose, who gives a shit? We'll make it next year. We'll be better next year. There's no guarantees in footy.
No.
There just isn't. So saying that we made it this year doesn't automatically guarantee that, you know, we finish this year automatically in the top four. Well, next year we'll finish top four, no problem. No. Doesn't mean anything. Because, you know, Melbourne this year lost a fair few games by a kick or, you know, by a couple of kicks. They go the opposite way next year. They finish higher than what they do, and, you know, maybe they win the flag. We don't know. And the same with us. The close games that we've won this year, next year might go against us. And all of a sudden you find out that you miss out. So just embrace it and enjoy it. And let's hope the players are doing the same. But, yeah, that was from Matty B. Thanks for that. Anthony says... They said we'd be out first week. They said we'd be out in the semi. Now they say Lions are an automatic I win. Complacency is a killer. I'm hoping we beat the Lions and shut those half-wits up. I'm making a big call here. If we beat the Lions, we will go on to win the flag.
Christ.
It's a 50-50 game, so if you make it.
Oh, I give us every chance of beating them up there. They're three of their last four games.
They're due for a loss. Yeah.
Well, they've won three games by under two goals.
The pressure's on them, mate.
Was Port Adelaide.
Port. The pressure's on them. I mean, they haven't made a grand final with this team. They haven't gone all the way. Okay. So we're the new boys coming in. The pressure's on them. It's at home. They're expected to win it. The bookies have got them as favourites.
Yeah.
Okay. They haven't lost the game. They haven't lost a game there all year. So you know,
this is vitally important. Yes, we got over the line against Melbourne. We didn't start well at all. We gave them a 3-goal lead. We give these guys a 3-goal lead. We won't get them. We need to make.
No, sure. I think you underestimate how much heart this team's got. Yeah, I give us a chance against anyone, no matter how far back.
We just need to start well. It's important we start well against them, because once these small forwards get fucking their tails up, they're a different side. So we've got to start well, smack them in the mouth early. That's what we've got to do. Selection will be interesting this week, but I give us a chance of being. I mean, Buddy St Kilda got within two goals.
Yeah.
Adelaide got within a goal, and they beat. St Kilda got within a goal. Adelaide got within 5 points, and
we're just the only problem with us is we're going very, very, very sore at the moment. And again, we'll talk about that. Give it a couple of minutes. I'm just going to read out one more comment here, but we're not going in with a clean bill of health. And the last comment here is from Jacqueline Hunt. Just a comment, but what a time to be alive. Go Baggers.
Go Baggers.
And that's pretty much my sentiments. Just enjoy it, because you don't know when it's going to come around again. So ride that emotion, enjoy it. And like I said, win or lose this weekend, fuck, it's been a ride.
Be proud.
Christ almighty, be mate. I haven't enjoyed myself going to the footy this much for a very, very, very long time. I mean, I'm talking maybe the Radden days. Maybe the Radden days of going to the football. And even then it was always, you know, that trepidation of, you know, what Carlton's going to come out this week. I don't fear that anymore. I know that no matter what happens, this team is just going to give it a red-hot crack. Doesn't matter what. They've just got a never say die attitude, which who knows, boys, where it takes us. Fuck. I'm very excited. So anyway, there's a big game coming up against Brisbane this week. Who goes out? Who comes in? You'd say that Harry and Martin are definite ins.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say maybe Cunningham might come out.
I've got Cunningham going out, and I hate saying that.
I'd say he might come out. He's been a bit quiet.
Yeah, you can't carry anyone in a prelim, so
he comes out, and so does Kennedy for me. What about you, Frank?
And
March half Marchbank.
No.
What do you do there?
Keeping me because they're going to play Hipwood, Danaher, Gunston. Yeah, I'd be playing. I wouldn't be dropping any of them. You're probably right. You probably have to drop Kennedy and Cunningham. Really,
Kennedy. I feel sorry for Kennedy. I mean, he did what he needed to do in the forward line, but like he hasn't played for a good chunk of the second half of the year. So maybe he stays on as the sub. I don't know.
I'd be keeping Hollins as the sub.
Yeah, right.
And I'd Martin and McKay have to. I mean, McKay has to come in.
Yeah.
To give Charlie an opportunity. Like we just can't do that again.
Does Jack come back?
No.
No.
Giovanni, no. No chance.
So just those two there, Harry and Martin.
Yeah.
And out Kennedy and Cunningham, and keep Hollins as the sub.
Look, they may bring Boyd in for one of their because they've got a lot of small forwards. But you've got to take someone out to put him in, and if you're going to take anyone out, it's probably going to be Marchbank.
I'd just give Saar the job on Cameron. Just tell him, this is your role, mate. I don't care if you get no touch. I don't care if you get no kicks for the game.
But remember,
just stay on him, mate, and pressure him.
But you've got Cam Rayner.
Yeah.
You've got Lincoln McCarthy.
Barry.
You've got Jared Barry.
Yeah, I trust our back line.
I trust our system. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's the midfield that needs to step up. Last game against them, and I'm not taking too much. You know, what we're doing now, but we got smashed in the midfield last game, and Coop's had his worst game against Dunkley, and he's got to come out, and we need a captain's game from him. We need an absolute fucking monster game from him. Charlie got smashed that game against Payne.
That was the period of time where. That was at the start of the rot, actually, wasn't it? Like one or two games into that, into that losing streak. So, I'm not looking at those games for anything. I'm looking at the way that we're playing now, and yeah, look, there's a lot that we can still clean up. Like there's a hell of a lot that we can still clean up. But the thing is you look at it, you got to look at it through the lens of these are finals games, and it's not clean football all the time. There is just that much pressure on, and again, that crowd behind you. It would just put so much pressure on anybody. Like, I don't blame them for some of the mistakes that they make, but we can't do it against Brisbane, man. They'll make you pay.
Interesting, Webby. You want? I mean, we probably all say the same about Cunningham, but what's he done different than Owies? He's been really poor.
Owies hits the scoreboard more than Cunningham does. He probably tackles more than Cunningham.
Yeah, he's been really poor.
Yeah, and oh mate, I love Cunningham, but you can't be carrying players into a prelim final. You can't.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, like the only thing I'd say about this game is, I think in the past we've been really slow starters at the Gabba. I know last year, late in the season, we started slow, and there's been other games in the past.
Don't remind me about that game, mate. That was a shocker.
So we just have to come out, have to be with them at quarter time. Kind of like the Melbourne game. If we're there at quarter time with them, like
this is the toughest road trip you can get.
Yeah. Yeah,
like tough. There's none tougher than this.
It's tough.
You know, you can talk about Collingwood at the G. You can talk about Adelaide in Adelaide. You can talk about Port Adelaide in Adelaide. You can talk about any of them. But Brisbane up there is as tough as you get. Like that's their fucking domain.
We're led by the Lion King in Vossie. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I've got faith in them. I've got faith in them. Can we win?
Absolutely.
Will we win?
Absolutely.
I hope we win. Can you imagine we're doing this podcast next week and we're playing off for the cup?
Wow.
Can you fucking imagine? Can you imagine if that happens?
I have thought about that, Frank. probably 1,000 times since Friday night. I'm still pinching myself that we're actually going to a prelim final.
We're going to a prelim. We'd be like, that's the one that at the end of the game was the one thing. That's what sunk in, was that we are one game away from a grand final. One game. Like, I remember when we were younger.
Yep.
This was in the glory days. I remember we used to live in Warrnambool when we were younger, and I distinctly remember, you might have been too young to remember this, Frank, but I remember my mum putting the blue and white balloons at the front of the house because Carlton were in the grand final.
We did that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I distinctly remember that. And we went to drop the kids off the other day at my mum's house, and short of having the balloons out, she's got stickers, Carlton stickers on the front door. And I just haven't seen that for so long. And I know it's just a small thing, but, you know, we've just been in the wilderness for so fucking long, this club.
Does mum listen to
the I don't know. I don't even know if she knows how to set up podcasts.
I know. He's told me off many a time for...
Come on, mum, dad, tell mum how to work out the pod. Mum, if you wanted a good hour of listening to your sons... have a listen. We talk shit, as you know, but jump on, Ma. You'll have a ball.
I want to give a quick shout out. On the way to the ground, we bumped into it was actually in the car. We bumped into two of my mates from school, Peter and Albert. And one of the boys, Albert, his family owns Camerado Poultry. So any listeners want to get some good quality chicken at a really good price, just hit up Camerado Poultry. I think they're around in Coburg. I think they are. But you can find them. Just jump on.
It's fresh too.
Yeah, it's all fresh.
It lasts about 6 months, so you can't get sick from it. so jump on. He's Calabrese too, so support him or you'll fucking die.
Interesting stat. The last time we defeated Brisbane at the Gabba, round 9, 2013.
Brisbane, Frankie, we were there, mate.
Yeah, we were there.
We were there at that game. That's the only time we've ever been to the Brisbane, to the Gabba.
10 years.
And we were there that night.
Something
we went to see that game.
You fucking voodoos, isn't it?
That's when we got in for nothing.
Yeah.
Snuck in, didn't we?
Oh, we didn't sneak in. They gave us free tickets, the idiots.
Well, no, we snuck in because they said the memberships you can't use, they're not valid in Brisbane. I said, like, fuck, they're not. They're AFL memberships, let us in. And she just said, yep, go in, guys.
The last five games between the two clubs, Brisbane 4, Carlton 1.
Yeah, and we were at that last win as well. So we're not going to be at this one here. We're going to have to miss out on this one and watch it. So, which is unfortunate that a prelim final's been played up there, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
We just hope that there's one more game after that that we can watch live. We can actually get tickets to go to because, geez, if we win this game, boys,
Jeez, well, I got three of you winners.
Webby,
let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
But Webby, will our tickets guarantee us grand final tickets if we get in? Like,
you'll have to go into a ballot, I've read.
You as well?
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's all the same for all of us. And I only think they give out let's not get ahead of ourselves because For the bookmakers' odds, it's going to be a Brisbane Collingwood grand final.
Fuck the bookmakers.
Wait. But if by some chance we happen to win next week on Saturday and Collingwood happen to win.
I want those fucks.
shut down the fucks.
Well, yeah. Trying to get a ticket to that would be that'd be the hottest ticket in town.
Is it 15,000?
Because everybody would want to get to that.
Is it 15,000 tickets per club for grand final?
Oh, that'd be if that was the case, that'd be insane.
No, who fucking knows? What
that'd be insane.
One thing I do want to say about Collingwood, they'd be having the squeakiest arseholes right now, those pricks. because I reckon that GWS is going to put an absolute monster up him.
How good are they playing?
And I would love nothing more if we can't win it than GWS to win.
For GWS,
nothing
yeah.
more. But to those Collingwood supporters, i.e. Rob, I hope your arsehole's nice and squeaky this week at work, mate. Because
he's a good bloke, Rob. I've spoken to Rob a few times.
Yeah, Rob's a good bloke. But Rob's been getting ahead of himself this year. And I've been keeping a low
profile. That's all right, mate. This is
keeping a low profile at work. And guess what, Rob? We're in the exact same spot, mate, and you finished on top. So I know it's gonna be squeaky around your household this week. So just make sure you use a bit of RP7 or WD-40. It's going to be very, very squeaky out your way, bud.
All right. Well, if you guys have got nothing else to say, I'm going to wrap this. All right. Make it quick, Webby.
Okay. Where is everyone watching the game? If the club was to open up the live site, would we be interested in getting together?
No. Our brother invited us to his new house. He just bought a house, my brother. So he bought, we didn't know that the game was going to be on. It was 5:15 on Saturday night. And the text from my brother yesterday morning or the morning before, because we were meant to get together last night, but Frank had another function.
He couldn't bring it forward today?
No. So the text was 5:30 at my house on Saturday night. And I thought, well, that's all right. The game won't start until 7. No, he doesn't follow footy. The game doesn't normally start until 7:30 or 7:50 at the Gabba. So I thought we'll be all right. We'll go there. We'll have something to eat, kick around for a couple of hours, and then excuse ourselves by 8:00. Go home and watch the game. Well, no, the AFL decided that no, we're going to put the game on at 5:15 on a Saturday.
You know why though?
When the hell have they ever done that before?
To get Carlton home Saturday night to prepare for the grand final.
Oh, fucking. Should have been a Friday night game, mate.
No, it shouldn't. No, yeah, it should have. Top, mate.
I couldn't give two fucks.
So how did, so GWS then, all right. Game, yeah, as I was about to say, so that means that if the two underdogs actually win, GWS gets the advantage of having an extra night to recover, and they finished fucking, they just made it inside the eight. That's not how it should work. This is the thing. The way that it's set up is designed for the top teams to actually win the game, so that way they get the rest. But if they lose, which has happened, then it doesn't really work in our favour.
Collingwood aren't winning, boys. I'm just giving you the hot tip now. They are not beating GWS.
All right. I hope you're right.
I've got another shout-out. I ran into Fab from the Ian Prendergast, and I was walking and I heard someone yell out, Webby, it's Big Fab, and we've just embraced. And
does he listen to this pod? Webby, is he listening? Why are you shouting him if he's not listening to the pod?
They all listen, bro. We all listen to each other.
Hey, Fab, if you're listening, mate, shout out to you, Fab. You're a good man.
And Sean and Timber.
Don't worry about Sean and Timber. I'm talking about Fabia. Fab, if you're listening, bro, I got one word for you, mate.
Who's Sean? No, it's all right. I'm thinking of someone else. Yeah, we know who Sean is. It's all good.
Fab, if you're listening to the pod, mate, your spiel about the welcome to country resonated, bud. So, right on.
I also ran into Joe, Jules, and Dan from the Almost Blues Brothers, and they were below you guys. You probably saw them.
But you know why? You wouldn't have seen many because the crowd's trying to get out all at the same time. Mm. It was just... Seriously, if you tripped over on the stairs, you wouldn't have tripped because there were that many people squashed in. All you would have done was stood upright if you fell over because you couldn't. It was packed in like sardines. There was one point where we were outside the ground and Frank was on the phone to our uncle. We were trying to meet up with him. There was one person in front of Frank And then two people got in front, and then three, just like the click of a finger. And I went, where the fuck did he go? I couldn't see him. Just completely disappeared for about 5 seconds. It was just, mate, 96,000 people just all running all at once. So it was a miracle that of those 96,000 that we bumped into anybody that we knew, let alone seeing Baz right at the end of the night. It was just...
Where did you see him, outside or inside?
Outside. He was walking the opposite way. So we were going from gate 4 towards gate 2. He was going the opposite way. And it was just... Frank just spotted him and goes, hey, you're... Look. Just couldn't believe it. So, anyway, look. It's a massive...
I'll say one more thing, and then Frank can finish it off. I've
got one more thing to say, too.
Yeah, okay, right. So, we all invest a lot in this football club. We all put a lot in. I just want us all to enjoy these moments. Don't worry about next year. Just worry about Saturday night. Let's cheer them on, right? Whatever happens, happens. But I am just so proud of my football club. I love my football club. And let's go to fucking Brisbane and let's fucking get it done, yeah? Let's get it done and get us into our first grand final in
24 years, man. 24 years.
Because for us younger fans who have seen none of this, I don't know what the hell is going on at the moment.
You know what's nice, Webby?
My head is spinning.
You know what's nice?
Stormy cricket season for you, bro.
No, you know what's nice is that I remember distinctly somebody that we know, I'm not going to name who it is because then they might get fanned out for being told something that they shouldn't have, but I remember hearing from somebody that we know after the Essendon game. We only laid about 30 odd tackles.
33.
And there was laughter and laughter and ridicule from the Essendon players about how weak Carlton are and how they're a soft club and fucking rightly so. And rightly fucking so. Because at that stage there, and for a long time, we'd turn up when we wanted to and then relax when we didn't want to.
Remember
the times that you'd see the opposition coaches in the coaches box would have a laugh.
Yeah.
They'd be eating fucking food up there while they were playing. I mean, just, you know, in indirect ways, just absolutely taking the piss at our club. And again, rightly so.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that because we were fucking shit. We've been that shit for that long that people like fucking Dane Swan can go on Twitter and say, oh, I know Carlton won't do this. I know Carlton. And he'd be right. Exactly what he'd say would happen because that was Carlton. But not anymore because we've stuck it right up these motherfuckers, right? We've stuck it right up them. We've won two fucking finals that everybody said they're not even going to make it. And then when they get there, they're not going to win. And then on the weekend, they're missing these guys. They're not going to win it. They're going to win it without Jack Martin and Harry Mackay. They're not going to win. They're banged up. They're bruised. They're not going to win this. Melbourne's not going to go out in straight sets. We did. We endured. And we've got two more weeks. So even if the unfortunate happens this weekend, let's just go right to the very last siren. And if we lose busting our fucking balls, at least make us proud that we at least gave it a go. And we gear up and get ready for a big 2024. But, mate, I'm enjoying it so much. I don't want it to end. Keep it going, Blues. Keep it going for another fucking week.
I agree, boys. I want to get off the Carlton topic one second. Was anyone watching the end of the GWS game last night where Eddie Betts was interviewing Toby Bedford?
Yep.
How pissed was his mum?
She's calling the Greens, didn't she? The Greens
She was fucking blind. And then, so she was blind on there. And then apparently she went on Channel 7. And jumped on the Canelio interview.
Yeah, because he looked upset at his mum when she jumped on.
And they pissed and they quickly cut because I think she was going to say something she should have. Oh. And I actually thought she stuck her rude finger up, but it was her index finger.
Oh.
But she was fucking blind. She couldn't put more than two words together. And I swear to God, if she had blown in the fucking alcohol monitor, she would have blown fucking 15 times over. She was absolutely really? Blind. So if you get she a chance
probably
to...
probably like me on the Friday night then.
If you get a chance to watch it...
Yeah, I saw it. It was funny.
I saw
her with Eddie Betts because she didn't call him... What'd she call him? The Green Team instead? I don't know. I don't know. And then Eddie Betts goes, "Don't you mean orange?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, sorry." And the look on her son's face is like, "Oh my god, mum, please." It was good. So, but this is what it's about. It's not just about the players. It's blind. She had a good night.
She was too. You've just tagged me in it. That's what it's about, though.
That's my big shout for the weekend. So
I know a couple of friends who went Friday night, and I've seen Twitter videos, and they were just as blind as she was. So good on them. That's what it's about.
Well, I loved it. There you go, Frank.
Last one. My daughter's birthday is Tuesday night. Chelsea, love you. Happy birthday.
Love you, Chelsea.
Yeah, happy birthday. Well, we'll see Charles on Tuesday anyway.
Wrap it up, Vinny.
All right. Well, look, it's we follow the best club in the world. That was that's been evident all year, up and down. You're right, Webby. And you know, we saw it at the end of Friday night. The party atmosphere, the way everyone got around each other was just fucking brilliant. So we go for one more week. We're in a fucking prelim. I can't believe it, but we are. So soak it in, Webby. Frank, enjoy the week because it's whatever happens, mate. We're here, and you know, normally for the last 20 odd years, we've been looking on the sidelines, going, "Fuck, I wish that was us." Well, it's us now, mate. So you give it one red hot crack, and you know, mate, anything can happen. And with any luck, mate, by 8:30 on Saturday night, we're in a fucking grand final. So let's see what happens. But it's been one of those years, mate. Anything could happen. I mean, we could get blown away by 100 points. We could fucking win by 10 goals. And
no free hits this week. It's a fucking grand final to play for. Give it your all, boys, because I know they all listen. go Blues.
No, we love it. So let's hope we fucking smash them and we're on to a grand final. But thanks, Franco. Thanks, Webby.
Thanks, everyone,
for listening to the Two Passionate Blue Baggers podcast. And
up the Blues.
We'll catch us all next week. And go the Baggers. Bye for now.